Book of Isaiah, going to the 50th chapter, and we're reading from verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Here is mine adversary. Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. Turn Isaiah. Verse 10 then, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of the word. I was just thinking as we go to prayer, I love to preach in churches that start at 11:30. Mine starts at 12 o'clock. It means when I go to church that begins at 11:30, I have an extra half hour to preach. And to get warmed up into, because I don't get really starting to about 12. And then about 12:30, I get warmed up and started to preach. So I have an hour to go. I hope you have the dinner low today. Let's seek the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, often as we make our way as believers toward heaven and home, there seems on occasions to be one common denominator. And that is that this world is not a friend to grace or to God. And even many of the best of the saints of God have known periods of darkness, periods of sorrow, periods of trouble, occasions when the heart has become heavy, occasions when the mind wonders what is really happening in my life. It can come to us as individuals. It can come to a family, and it can come to a church. And often we find that in such occasions, the question that seems to be asked is perhaps the wrong question. For the question that more often is asked is, why, Pastor? Why minister to? I have to suffer the thing or the things that have beset me. There are others I know who aren't saved. They don't seem to have the difficulties I find. I know people who have no time for God, no time for church or for the Word of the Lord, and yet they live oblivious to the things that are happening to them. And I have to say, preacher, that even on occasions they seem to be getting it better than I do. Isn't that the very words of the psalmist in Psalm 73? When you read that tremendous psalm, the first half of it is almost, as it were, a complaint from the psalmist. And he says, as he's looking at his situation and the prosperity of the wicked, he says in very sad terms, have I cleansed my heart in vain? In other words, look at me. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer in Christ. And I'm suffering when the ungodly do not seem to be suffering. But then the Lord took him aside. Then God drew him to the temple, into the sanctuary, and he gave him an eyesight. He gave him an eye view of the end of the wicked. And then he says in the latter half of that psalm, I thank God that I'm in Christ, that I'm one of the believers. See, our worst portion as Christians is far better than the best portion that the ungodly and the unsaved have. The psalmist, or the writer here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10, he draws our attention to the thought of the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness. And beloved, the question isn't why. The question really ought to be, how can I survive? How can I live for God amidst the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that beset the church, that beset my family, that beset me as an individual? I believe, beloved, it's hard to live that matters. That many, many occasions the best testimony that the church, that the Christian family or the Christian individual can have, that is, in the midst of the trials, he can rejoice. You remember the words of Job? Even though he slay me, yet shall I praise him. Job was one who knew emphatically what suffering was. He knew what it was as an individual to endure hardship and difficulty, yet in the midst of it, there was a resolution. There was a resolve in his heart to go through with God and not to murmur, not to complain, not to turn his back on the Lord. I believe Isaiah here was giving us the key for our generation, for our trials and troubles and tribulation. And then in the words of the verse 10 that we have read together, he sets before us the way to be an overcomer, the way to keep on going with God in the midst of the tragedy. I want to leave simply three things with you first of all this morning. I want you to notice that darkness does come to every believer. Darkness does come to every believer. I know, beloved, that you and I in Christ, that even though we're on the same road that leads to glory, even though we belong to the same Lord, there are different times in our life when we face a great variety and great different happenings in our relationship and in our walk for God. That there are days when the sun is shining upon me and the rain is pouring upon you. There are days whenever individuals are attacking the preacher and they're encouraging you. There are occasions in your life as you make your journey to heaven when all is well and when all is not well. As I spoke of Job, I thought of his words in Job chapter 19. And in Job chapter 19 and in the verse 8, Job uttered these words. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. If you look at the words of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save. The word there, of course, is the word deliver. And these two men, they knew what it was to go through the period of darkness. We can think of John the Baptist. We can think of the Apostle Paul himself, who besought the Lord three times for the thorn that had come to his flesh. And beloved, we can look through the history of the church in the Bible and the history in the church in the world, and you know that there was persecution, there was trial and tribulation. Think of the Puritans. Think of the Reformers. Think of the Covenanters. And every one of them at some time in their life, they suffered greatly for the Master and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not the period that sometimes you and I find ourselves in? The road is tough. The day is overshadowed with darkness and cloud. It seems as if we arose in the morning thinking all would be well, and suddenly it changed almost into the midnight hour. There was nothing but surrounding us of darkness, of pain, and of trial. And there were those who were seeking to hinder us from going on and going through with God. Have faith in God. The sun will shine. Though dark the clouds may be today, His heart has planned your path and mine. Beloved, have faith in God. Every believer will know a time of darkness. Is it your time, beloved? Are you feeling the heat of the day? Does it seem as you are seeking to live out the Christian life that no one is happy for you? That everything seems to be against you? I remember years ago when I was in the testimony team I used to be in the Martyrs Memorial. I remember that we used to meet every Thursday night for prayer and to discuss the meetings that were coming up. And there was one brother there, and he seemed to always live under the shadow. One evening I walked into the meeting, he was sitting just at the door. And he looked up and he says, well, how are you doing? And I said, powerful, wonderful, I feel great today. He says, you mustn't be living right. He felt you had to be in the cloud to be walking with God. That's not always the case. But yes, the Lord did say to the disciples, in this life you shall have tribulation. Trouble, difficulty, darkness, sorrow, sickness, trial comes to every believer. I want you to think, secondly, not only that darkness comes to every believer, but that darkness can bring out the best in the believer. Look at what it says in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon His God. You see, beloved, the question we mentioned was, how do we survive it? How do we go on with God amidst the sorrow, amidst the darkness? Surely, in reality, if we will look back on our experience, that it was after a sickness that we proved God best. It was after tragedy in our home or in our family that we realized the mercy of God greatest. And many a believer, many a child of God, when we've saw them or spoken to them after a severe illness, after a terrible tragedy, what is their talk? What have they said? God has been good. God brought me through. God helped me through the darkness. You know, as I thought upon that, I thought of some of the natural things. Think for a moment of those beautiful pictures you have. You know of the children when they were born. You know of your family when you're on holiday. Do you remember the day your daughter or your son was married? And even now you may leaf the pages of the album and look at those photographs. And many a time as you gaze at the photograph, you say, isn't it beautiful? Doesn't my daughter, my son, don't we look well in that photograph? The beauty of that photograph was developed in the dark room, beloved. That which brought out the picture, developed the colors to its greatest, was done in the dark room. You think of the pearl that so many ladies love to have around their neck or even upon a ring. That pearl was developed in the darkness of the shell. I remember being on holiday not so long, and I was asking an individual who was trying to sell me a precious pearl. I told him, I said, I lift up the shackle, you can't bluff me, friend. But one of the things that he told me was interesting. I said, heart is the pearl made. He said, well, down usually in the body of the ocean lies the shell. And inside it is the germ. But that shell has a little hole in it, through which the salt and the sand of the sea creeps in. And as the shell is being battered about or pushed about, those pieces of sand, they buffet the pearl. And the more it seems to be blown about, the better the pearl. The more that's tossed to and fro, the brighter the pearl. And thus, when the shell is open, it reveals the beauty of the pearl after its trial. I think of the three Johns that come to mind at this time. John Milton, he was an author who was blind. And it is estimated that one of the greatest books that was written by him in the darkness of blindness. He was the writer of Paradise Lost. I think of John Bunyan, who wrote that tremendous Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote it in a dungeon in Bedford. There in the damp and the darkness of that dungeon, he was given a special, as it were, glimpse from God of the road of the Christian, of the road of the individual until they find peace with the eternal God. And he wrote that classic in the darkness of the cell. When we think of the book of Revelation, was it not on the lonely island of Patmos that John was given a vision from God? When he was exiled, when it appeared that there was no one with him or for him, but rather he was on his own, and yet God met tremendously with him. And we can thank God for the book of Revelation, because God there spoke to his servant in the darkness of exile. See, there is an answer. And as you look at verse 10, the two answers that he gives to enable you and I to cope in the darkness that we go through is, first of all, we are to look to the Lord. Isn't that what he says in verse 10? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust. In other words, don't look at the circumstances about you. Don't dwell on the problems of time and the trouble and the adversity as you're journeying toward heaven, but keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul wrote when he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Isn't that what is intimated by those words? That in the midst of the catastrophe, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the difficulty, keep our eyes on the Lord. Warren Wiersbe, he said that the Christian's life, he says, we live by promises, not by explanations. That's why I said to you, we don't ask the question why. We ask the question, how do I overcome? How do I keep going on with God? Here's the answer. Looking unto Jesus. Isn't it interesting the phrase here? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Think of the many tremendous names given to God and given to Christ in the Bible. Even when we look there at the name Lord and its capital letters, it's drawing our attention to the covenant-keeping God of heaven. It's drawing you and I to dwell upon the One who never breaks His word. Draw your attention and my attention to the everlasting, all-omnipotent, all-powerful God in heaven. Man may fail us, but God cannot and God does not fail. I was saying to my own church in the prayer meeting the other week, there's over 1,800 promises in the Bible, out of which 1,700 odd were given by God Himself. And when I thought on that, I said, God has fulfilled, is fulfilling, is going to fulfill every one of those promises. You know, beloved, no matter when I look at the cause of God, when I look at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ulster, upon the mainland, over in the Republic, across the world, surely you and I can say the end is not yet, and the best is still to come. There's days of blessing, days of revival. When we were leaving Wales on Friday, Reverend Fred Greenfield and myself were traveling companions. Reverend Wesley Graham, he said, have you time? I want to show you something. He said, well, we've got some time. And he took us to the place that was built where George Whitefield preached to the miners. It's called Mount Something. And as we stood there, there was a plaque to Whitefield and indeed to Wesley. And it records the story that the miners were coming up out of the mine, and Whitefield was preaching the Word of God to them, and there was 1,500 miners. 1,500 miners. Now that particular thing, before you correct me in case you know where it is, it wasn't in Wales, it actually was in Bristol, as we were making our way to the plane at Bristol Airport. And Mr. Graham reminded us that the miners came to hear the Word of God preached, and as the Word of God was preached, they cried so much that their black faces were all marked. The dust from the mine was being washed away with tears of repentance. Oh, beloved, I said in my own heart, Lord, do it again, for our God is able. Our God is able, beloved, by our trusting, by our remembering, by our indeed looking to Him. He is the all-powerful God. The Bible says He's able to do much more abundantly above that which we would dare to ask or think. We are to look to God. You think of those other names, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Lord Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Think of the Master's name. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. Beloved, even dwelling upon the wonderful, tremendous names that are given to God and to the Son of God and to the Holy Spirit encourages us in the darkest hour. Look to Him. He will safely see us through. Not only to look to Him, but we are to lean on Him. Look again at the end of verse 10. It says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The word stay there has given even the thought of the staff in Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To know that God is with us is the greatest of all comforts. To know that when others are unable to speak the word in season, when others are unable to give us comfort and consolation in the darkness, that we are to look to God and we are to stay. In other words, remain faithful. Keep going on with the Master. He will safely bring us through. The hymn says, when there is no answer, God is there. Oh, darkness comes to us all. And the darkness can bring out the best in every believer. But notice thirdly and finally, darkness reveals the things we cannot see. Look for an instance with me at verse 3. It says, I clothe the heavens with darkness. I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear the sound. We thought for a moment or two about the pearl in the shell. We thought of other examples. Here is God drawing our attention to creation, to the omnipotence and the powerfulness of our God. Sometimes it takes the darkness for us to see that. If you leave the church this morning and walk up and look into the heavens, if the rain has stopped, you'll see nothing but clouds. Do you know the stars are there? Do you know that the one who hung the heavens and the stars and the sun and the moon, that they're clothed there even through the day? And yet you and I won't see that gem. You and I won't see the beauty of the stars that God has given in the daytime. It takes the night season. It takes the hours of darkness for you and I to see and to relate to the handiwork of God in His creation of the stars. You know, beloved, some of the best saints of God have been seen to be those saints in the time of darkness. I quoted Job, even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. We think of many others. And then through the history of the Bible and the history of the church of Jesus Christ, and in the darkness, in the season when all was not well, that's when God seemed to lift them up, seemed to rise them as stars in the light and stars in the night. Look at what he says in chapter 45 of this hymn, of this book. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me. He leadeth us in the night season. He guideth you and I, beloved, through the trials and the tribulations. What is being revealed here in verse 10, in the time of darkness? Can I suggest to you quickly, we are revealed concerning His person. Notice simply the way it puts there. That walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. In other words, he's being shown in the darkness the person, the person of God Himself. I read just the other week, a godly preacher was preaching on a series on Jonah and the whale. And one night he went home and his son said to him, who had been sitting in some of the meetings, he said, "Dad, do you really believe that the fish swallowed the man? Do you really accept that?" And the father laughed and reasoned for a moment or two, and then he said, "But son, God made the fish." The young boy looked at his dad and he said, "Well, if God's in it, I believe it." Oh, that we could get that childlike faith to know that when God is in it, all is well. To know that our God is still sitting upon the throne, and that the one we are to look to, the one that we are to rest upon, is none other than God Himself. In the darkness, he saw the person. He saw God. In the darkness, he saw the power of the person, God Himself. Even in those words that we looked at in verse 3 and verse 4, the prophet here was directing the people to dwell upon the God of creation, the one who made all things, the sun and the moon, the stars, who separated the waters to make dry land, who called into being even the very art of creation itself. He is surely the all-powerful one. There's two questions put in the Bible. I preached on one of them the other week, although they're the same question. And they weren't put concerning God, by God. They weren't put by man in regard to God's ability. They were one question that God said to His servant. He said to Abraham, He said to Jeremiah, He said, "Is anything too hard for me?" Oh, I know your answer already. But do we live in the light of the fact that God is the God of creation? That He is the all-powerful one who can bring us through? He saw the person of God. He saw the power of God. And surely we can say He saw the promise of God. He saw the very promise that God has given. Beloved, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Some time ago, an artist called his friend to view a picture of the cross that he had drawn. Friend came the next day to the studio. Immediately he opened the door and led him into a very small room. There was nothing in the room. He said, "I want you to sit there for a while," and he closed the door. Never even put a light on. He sat him in the darkness. After 10, 15 minutes, the artist returned and he says, "Now come with me." And he took him in and he said, "I want you to look at that picture." His friend was totally amazed at the scene. He could see in detail everything that the artist was seeking to portray in that picture of the cross of Calvary. He said, "I've only one question. It's a beautiful picture. It's the best one I've ever seen of the cross of Calvary. I've only one question. Why put me in the dark room?" He said, "I didn't want anything clouding your view of the picture." So often, beloved, we are buffeted by the world and the flesh and the devil to cloud our view of God, to cloud our picture of the Lord Jesus. There's occasions we need to be drawn aside, even into the darkness of adversity, to rejoice more in our God. Look beyond the night of sorrow. There shall come a blessed day. There will be a glad tomorrow. when the night has passed away. May you and I, in the midst of our tragedies and trials, look to the Lord. Lean heavily upon God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence.